Studio now with an update from the Snyderville Basin Water Reclamation District. I have District Director Mike Lures. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Leslie.
So we always like to start your reports with what we call the flush index, which basically does what?
So the flush index is an estimating methodology where we look at all the wastewater variables, meaning the amount of wastewater coming down the pipe, and we estimate the number of visitor nights per month. So for the month of May, we estimated that there was 87,312 visitor nights. We compare that to a year ago, May. And interesting enough, we had a fairly significant increase. We had about a 25% increase in flows for May, May typically being slow months.
Okay, yeah. So and does that jive with the Chamber's numbers?
We are still working with them to get their numbers for May. We're typically a little faster than them because we can instantly, you know, measure the flow.
Okay. And the district is also continuing to monitor the wastewater for COVID-19. What's it showing here for the Wasatch Back?
So for our two treatment plants here in the Snyderville Basin, an interesting thing has been happening. We've seen an increase. We call that the elevated level, and we've seen higher numbers at both of our treatment plants this most recent week. The East Canyon facility dropped down a little bit, down to what we call the watch group, and then our Silver Creek facility has moved up to the elevated group. And this is a trend that we've been seeing pretty much for the last couple months where we see a little bit of an increase and it drops back down, a little bit of an increase and it drops back down. But I think it's a reminder for folks that, you know, SARS-CoV-2 virus is still with us. And, you know, fortunately, vaccines are available for those folks that want it. But that's something we continue to monitor twice a week at both of our facilities.
Okay. And then you also show low categories, I guess, both what, at the Colville?
Yeah. So the health department is reporting low concentrations for Wasatch County, which is the Heber County in Midway, and then Colville is also in the low category.
Yeah, so since it's not the dangerous virus that it once was, I mean, do you think this testing will continue?
Yeah, so this testing will continue, and really this is a process that will be extended to other viruses, and we may talk about that here in a minute, but the process is in place. It's been proven that you can look at wastewater as kind of the canary in the coal mine type situation, where if you're not looking only for, say, SARS-CoV-2, but you're looking for polio or influenza or resistant bacteria, wastewater is a good place to see what's happening with the general population. And CDC is developing wastewater-based epidemiology projects extensively, and this is here to stay with us, and we expect our participation will actually be expanded.
All right, so that's what you think you'll be watching for then, like polio and influenza, or what else?
Yeah, I'm not sure about polio. Even though polio has popped up a few countries and was detected with wastewater-based epidemiology, including Israel, the CDC has yet to tell us exactly which ones, which viruses to look for. The issue with all this really gets down to laboratory capabilities. This is, doing the genetic sequencing and all takes sophisticated laboratory, people that are trained in it, and just the sheer capacity. So that is something that the CDC will hopefully fund local state health departments to set these procedures up in the laboratory. But that's really kind of what's holding it back, is just funding.
Yeah. So is that what you do? I mean, you don't have a lab on site. You send samples off?
Right. All the samples that we collect, as well as the various other entities around the state, and there's, you know, a couple dozen of us, we send them to the health department in Salt Lake, and their main laboratory does the analyses. Initially on in the pandemic, we had local universities running those tests, and that was before the health department had the capabilities to run the test. But it's all done through the health department in Salt Lake with funding from the CDC.
All right. And then in terms of the COVID SAR numbers, that is still available on a public dashboard on your website?
Absolutely, yes. All the COVID testing for the state is available on the public dashboard. And you can just Google COVID dashboard Utah, and I think you'll find it.
Okay. You're also reporting that there are some developments in this, what you call WBE, the wastewater-based epidemiology, all over the world?
That's correct. So here in the U.S., the CDC has started what's called an airport genomic surveillance project. And there's 8 international airports on basically both coasts here in the United States. And they're looking for new variations of the SARS-CoV-2 virus. And as CDC mentions, this genomic surveillance program is a model of pathogen detection and can be used as an early warning system for pandemics and other outbreaks of various other viruses. So the intent here is if something really bad were to come into the country, the idea is to catch it early at the airports. And the testing that they're doing at the airports is rather interesting because they test the total wastewater coming out of an airport. Then they go in and they'll test the wastewater from, say, a given wing of the airport. And then they also will be and have been taking samples from individual airplanes. Taking the samples from the airplanes hasn't proven that successful because, as you might imagine, when those wastewater systems in an airplane are unloaded, those tanks are not disinfected, so you don't know where it's coming from. But on the various terminal testing that they've done, that's been pretty successful because the terminal wastewater is made up mostly of travelers. And if a particular terminal, say, serves international travel from Africa or Asia or wherever, and they pick up something, at least you kind of got an idea of where it's coming from. So, again, this is just, I think, the beginning of what we're going to see in the future for overall genomic sequencing based on wastewater samples.
Yeah, so since they're not sure what they're looking for, how is it, how do they find that?
No, you have to know what you're looking for. So, again, right now, the airport genomic surveillance program is just looking for SARS-CoV-2 variations. So when you set up the laboratory test, you know the genetic material you're looking for, and that's what they search for in the samples. So if you were to look for COVID, say polio, you would look for the signatured RNA or DNA signature for polio.
Okay. And then again, is this happening, as you mentioned, at the airports, but also where it's being done worldwide?
Yeah, so one of the big issues with SARS-CoV-2 is, you know, where did it come from? And where did the original SARS come from in 2002 and 2012? And we often talk about what's called zoonotic diseases. And these are diseases that jump from animal to human, usually through some kind of evolutionary genetic change. But the key is to catch these zoonotic diseases very early on. So there's a group, it's called the United States Agency of International Development, or USAID, and they have a program, it's called Stop Spillover. And spillover really means to stop that zoonotic change or jump from animals to humans. So this organization is funded from multiple agencies, including CDC, are actually in the field in Bangladesh, Cambodia, Vietnam, multiple countries in Africa, and they're actually sampling wastewater from remote villages as well as rodent sampling, and they take wastewater samples looking for viruses that have jumped from animal to human, and if they find it, you know, to stop it. Ebola is a classic example. That is a zoonotic disease that jumps, again, from animals to humans. And the idea is to really understand what's going on and to catch any type of spillover that may be occurring in these remote areas where there's tremendous interaction between very remote animals and humans. And as these countries develop, they got deforestation and people move into these areas, into the forest, the issue and the likelihood of zoonotic spillover increases.
So where are some of these locations that this is being done?
So again, Bangladesh, Cambodia, Uganda, Sierra Leone, Vietnam. And so it's being done worldwide. Wherever there's interaction between very remote forested areas, and it's typically a result of deforestation or humans entering into the forest and encountering these zoonotic viruses. Mm. Frequently, it's bat-related, so sampling viruses in bats. Interesting enough, bats harbor many variations of the SARS-CoV-2 virus, and those are the type of things they look at.
Hmm, interesting. Good news on the flushable body wipes legislation. Tell us what's happening here.
Yeah, thank goodness. So when you go to Costco and you see this big box, it says flushable wipes. And the problem has been those, yes, indeed, are flushable, but unfortunately, they're not treatable. So when you flush any type of baby wipe or body wipe, those go down the sewer system, they wrap around our pumps, they shut our system down and cause us tremendous problems and result in sewage backing up into homes and businesses. So with a great deal of effort, the U.S. House representatives recently passed what's called the Wastewater Infrastructure Pollution Prevention Environmental Safety Act, also known as WIPES, that requires do not flush labeling on these wipes. And they also authorized some money for educational purposes. The bill now moves to the Senate, and it looks like we have support in the Senate to finally get that passed.
So why were they considered flushable in the first place? Because you could do it.
Because you could flush them. Mm. But, I mean, they go down the commode, but as soon as they enter the pipe and they come to one of our pump stations or the treatment plant, they don't break down like toilet paper. And that's a misconception a lot of people had. Well, toilet paper breaks down into a bunch of little tiny parts. We think, you know, we had this perception of body wipes broke down too, but that's not the case. If you've ever visited one of our wastewater treatment plants, we have this big screen where the wastewater comes in the plant, and we remove entire whole body wipes by the hundreds every day. And at our pump stations, I can show you pictures where hundreds of these body wipes are wrapped around our pumps that completely shut the system down. And it's been a tremendous problem for the last, roughly 10 years when these body wipes really started to be marketed.
All right. So when Senate's got to pass it first before we're going to see any changes?
That's correct. It looks like it's going to pass, so we keep our fingers crossed.
All right. How difficult was that to get approved?
Difficult.
Yeah.
Very difficult because the big wipe manufacturers, Procter & Gamble and others, really had a tremendous business, and they felt like they might have lower sales if you could not flush them. And we basically had to spend a lot of time on Capitol Hill, our industry, to really fight for this.
All right. You had some students from Jeremy Ranch Elementary School visit the East Canyon Water Reclamation Facility, and the invitation is open to anyone, huh?
Absolutely. Anyone, student, adult, graduate student that would like to visit our treatment facilities, we certainly welcome them to just give us a call. We'll take you one-on-one or a group, but, kudos to Jeremy Ranch Elementary School that brought all their fifth graders out. Had a great, great time, really educational for the kids, and I just want to say thank you to Jeremy Ranch for bringing them to the facility, and we look forward to more fifth graders in future years.
Yeah, so why do you think it's important then for fifth graders to see how this works?
Well, fifth grade is about the time students start learning about the water cycle, where water comes from, where it goes, how it is used, where the wastewater goes. So at that age group, it's really a great age group to introduce to actual wastewater treatment for them to see actually where it all goes when they flush.
All right. And again, that's probably a great message to get out about the non-flushable wipes.
Absolutely.
Because I know it worked with recycling. My kids would come home and say, no, you've got to recycle that. So good start. Let's talk a little bit about wastewater reuse. So what's happening on this front?
So I often get questions, and we have worked with a couple of the local ski areas in the last couple of years on potential reuse projects. Our wastewater treatment facilities clean the wastewater to a very, very high level because we have these mountain streams that have sensitive trout species. And there's been interest in taking that treated wastewater and use it for snowmaking in particular. We've been, again, working with one particular ski area. However, because of the issue with the Great Salt Lake drying up, so to speak, the state legislature passed a bill that prohibits any type of reuse that would result in a reduced flow of water going to the Great Salt Lake. So our East Canyon facility, we discharge into East Canyon Creek. It flows down to East Canyon Reservoir, which flows into the Weber River, which flows into Great Salt Lake. Our Silver Creek facility discharges into Silver Creek, which flows into Echo Reservoir, which flows into Weber River, which flows into the Great Salt Lake. So the intent is not to reduce the amount of water flowing to the Great Salt Lake, and a reuse project could potentially do that. If you were to take wastewater, make snow out of it, put it on the hill, it could evaporate, and the amount of water entering the stream would be less than it would be if we just discharged it directly into the stream. So for here in Park City area, it's going to be very difficult to receive any kind of approval for any type of wastewater reuse unless there's a mechanism to replace that water with water from someplace else, which is, you know, not likely.
I know the Park City Golf Course uses untreated water. So is that different to water its landscaping?
Well, yeah, the water that I believe that they're using is coming out of the Spiro Tunnel. And that's an existing use, so that's okay. If you have an existing use, or you know, if we were to have a reuse project that is currently in place, that would be grandfathered, but any new reuse projects would not be approved. And within our service area, we do not have any reuse projects.
So what does that mean then for future snowmaking?
They cannot use wastewater.
Okay. Yeah. But they've got, what they do is kind of fill ponds.
They right? fill ponds, and, you know, they have water rights associated with that. So if you want additional snowmaking and you're a resort owner and you don't have, say, sufficient water, then you'll need to acquire additional water rights that are, you know, real property, and you would buy those and utilize them. And the state engineer will not approve of any kind of, you know, water use project that results in a reduction in water going to the Great Salt Lake.
Okay, so will this impact then the new East Canyon Village, or East Village area of Deer Valley?
That
they
have water rights, mm-hmm. So that, you know, if you have water rights, you're good to go.
Okay, all right. Anything else, Mike?
Just real quick. We mentioned visiting the treatment facilities. We often invite people and they go, well, why would I want to visit a wastewater treatment facility? Well, when we talk about preserving and protecting our local environment, and especially in the case of East Canyon Creek, where that water flows right through the middle of the 910 cattle ranch that the county is acquiring, it's important to know where all this goes and where your money goes to help protect the environment. So give us a call, tour the facility. We find that most people really enjoy it, and it's an eye-opener for most folks.
649-1594? What is it? I'll make sure it's the right number. For some reason, numbers stick to me. Okay.
Yeah. It's 649-7993.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks, Leslie.